This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد The Quraysh, the Meccan army, was approaching Medina. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it was customary, he used to consult the companions. He used to consult even the general people. So after prayer, he informed them and updated them about the current situation. And he said the army was coming. And they had left Mecca. And so he wanted to consult with them and ask them on whether they should stay and fight in the streets of Medina when the Meccans come, or go out to meet them. And so there were two camps, two groups. The elders, they wanted to stay in Medina because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also informed them. He had a dream. He had a dream that he brandished his sword and then it cracked or it broke. And then he brandished it again and it came back. And then he brandished his sword again and all of a sudden there was a chip on the sword. And he put his hand inside his armor. And then, so this is all of course in his dream. And he saw that there was a cow that was slaughtered. So he interpreted, the companions, he interpreted the meaning of the dream that he had. And of course he interpreted that this was the interpretation how the battle was going to be. And then he said, as for my hand inside my armor, that's an indication that Medina will be a strong fortress for us. So I feel we should stay in Medina. Subhanallah. How strong is that? And remember, the dreams of prophets, the prophets and messengers are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that is made up. It's a part of actually revelation. Because the shayateen cannot affect and come into the dreams of the prophets and messengers. And so, this is what the Prophet ﷺ informed them. But there were some youngsters, some of the youth, they missed the opportunity to fight in the Battle of Badr. They missed the opportunity to fight in the Battle of Badr, so they were very zealous. They wanted to meet the enemy. Remember in the Battle of Badr, it was not mandatory for everyone to go. They did not go to fight the Meccans. They went for the caravan. They only went for the caravan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the battle happen when the Meccans came. But the intention was not to fight. It just so happened that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. So there were many people in Medina who did not participate in the Battle of Badr, who really wanted, they missed this opportunity. So these, especially the youngsters, they wanted to show what they could do. They knew also the virtues of fighting in jihad fi sabilillah and the virtues of being amongst the people of Badr. So they did not want this opportunity, they did not want to take the chance that the people of Mecca would somehow, some way return, would not enter Medina. So, the youth, they wanted to go out to meet the enemy. And it seemed as if they were the majority. It seemed as if they were the majority, but the elders, they agreed with the Prophet ﷺ to stay and fight in the streets of Medina. Why? So that others can join also. You can stay on the rooftops, you know your area better, and you can attack the enemy. But some of them, they were saying that, you know what, we didn't do this in Jahiliyyah. We didn't do this before Islam. Why should we allow such a thing to happen in Islam? So this was some of the proof of the youth. And so the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, after consulting with them, he listened to the youth. And so he said, okay, we will go out and meet the enemy. We will go out and meet the enemy. And so he went home and he put on his armor. While he was in his house, the elders were scolding the youth. The elders were scolding the youth. And they were able to convince some of the youth to change their minds. And so then they, after this give and take, they said, okay, when the Prophet ﷺ comes back out, we will tell him that we want to fight in the streets of Medina. We'll wait for the enemy to come. We're not going to go out to meet them. And so, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out with his armor ready to go. And then they tell him that, you know, we've changed our minds. We've changed our minds. We decided to go with your suggestion. In other words, the opinion of the elders, right? The opinion of the elders. And so, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, it is not appropriate for a prophet, after he has put on his armor, to take it off until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed in this affair. In other words, either we're victorious or we meet the enemy. In other words, he's not going to change his mind. So he was firm. And by the way, this is a lesson, a tangent here, a lesson in leadership. A lesson in leadership. Once you have made your decision, don't waver and don't change unless some of the variables have changed. You know, I used to teach, right now I'm doing a lot of administration, but I used to teach at the Islamic school. There was an Islamic school in Seattle. And, in Seattle, it's similar to here, right? We get a lot of rain. So we have a lot of rainy day recess. Like the kids, they can't go out, you know, when it's time for break and recess. And so, every time we go out, before we go out, I ask them. So one day, I said, okay, you guys, what do you guys want to do? You guys want to play football? As a class, we're going to play football? Or are we going to play basketball? Right. We can play football or basketball. Your choice. I want to see hands. Who wants to play football? I know you guys want to play football right now, but I'm like in class. During the class, who wants to play football? So, a group raised their hands, and they said, they want to play football. Right? They want to play football. And then I said, who wants to play basketball? So now the guys who like to play basketball, right? They raised their hand. And it seemed, right, when I was looking at it, the majority wanted to play basketball. They wanted to play basketball. It was a nice day outside, but you know, more people wanted to play basketball. And so, before we go, of course I'm going to go and take a basketball. And we have a gym, so I go and get the basketball from the closet. It was from another area outside. So I come back, but while I was gone, those who wanted to play football, they were the minority, right? So there's one very influential person amongst them. He's able to convince the other guys, and what does he tell them? He said, listen, we live in Seattle. You guys all know that, right? It rains a lot. It's not raining outside. It's a nice day outside. We can play basketball anytime, whether it's raining or not. But you can't play football every day. You can't play football every day. Does that make sense? It makes sense. It makes sense. And a lot of them, they said, okay, yeah, you know, the people who don't care too much, or maybe they like it. It makes sense to them, it made sense to them. So another, he got a couple of more students to be on his side. So I come back, and what do I have in my hands? I have a basketball. And it's nice outside. It's not raining. We're going to be playing inside. But most of the people said they want to play basketball. And so the brother, or the student, he said, Ustad, the majority of us now want to play football. Right? The majority of us now want to play football. You still have a couple of people who, they don't care about football. They just want to play basketball. It doesn't matter. They don't care if it's raining, sunny. It doesn't matter. Basketball is always top, number one. So I'm in a dilemma. What do I do? Do I go and go get a football? Okay, you guys, since the majority, do I go and get football? Do I do it? If I were to do that, what would happen? I would lose control of the class. Why would I lose the control? Why would I lose control of the class? Because there are some people who still want to play basketball. And they'll never change. And so if I went and got a football, they would know, Ustad, that's unfair. We already chose basketball. Right? So I said, no. We said basketball. We're going to play basketball. I don't care how sunny it is outside. We already made the decision. So I don't change. But if there's a variable, let's say if it starts to, you know, something happens and we can't go outside or we can't play basketball, one or the other, okay, we can make our decision accordingly. Or somebody's already taken the basketball, okay? Or somebody's already taken the football. One way or another, then it forces in one way or another. But be firm when you make your decision. Otherwise you lose control. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the whole masjid right now. The youth and the elders, there's a conflict. And the elders now have convinced them that, you know, they should stay. But at the beginning, the first decision was to go out. So if he would have said, okay, since the majority, most of you guys want to fight in the streets of Medina now, okay, we'll do so. All the other guys, those who really still wanted to go out, they would say, Ya Rasulullah, that's not, we already chose the other one. Right? So, this is a lesson in leadership. And, but, what is the main lesson here? It is what happened after. What happened during and after. What happened during the Battle of Uhud? When they went out and they fought, what happened? The Muslims suffered greatly because the archers did not listen, or they were not obedient to the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stay on that mountain, to stay on the hill. And so that was the reason why, because of their disobedience, there was chaos that occurred afterwards, and the Muslims suffered greatly in that battle. Right? And one of the reasons also, the reason why Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, one of the reasons why he mentioned why he did not want to join, was because he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad listens to the youth, he doesn't listen to the elders. Muhammad listens to the youth, he doesn't listen to elders. Why are we going to risk our lives? Because of some zealous elder, us zealous youth, trying to bring us out to the battle. Of course, he didn't want to go anyways. He wanted to fight in the streets of Medina so he wouldn't have to join. He could stay and lock the doors in his house and he wouldn't have to worry about anything. That he was a munafiq, leader of the hypocrites. He had another reason, but that's the reason why he mentioned. He said, well, Muhammad listens to the youth. Okay. So we know what happened in the battle. Afterwards, now imagine this in our masajids. I want you to imagine. Something like this occurring in the masajids, the imam listens to the youth, and then there's afterwards there's a calamity as a result of that decision. Right? What do you think would happen? You see, you shouldn't be listening to those youths. They don't know anything. Next, why do you have to consult? Why do you have to consult them? Why do you have to speak to them? Forget it. Leave them alone. But what did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Listen to the verses that were revealed afterwards. Concerning this decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you were kind to them. You were easy and kind to them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were harsh and coarse towards them, they would have run away from you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not play the blame game afterwards. He didn't blame this person and that person. He didn't say, oh, when we shouldn't have lit, why did you guys have to suggest such a thing and so forth? We already decided, I even saw a dream. No. He was very kind to them in the way that he spoke to them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Whatever has happened, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. Forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And ask forgiveness for them. And then, you know how some people, when something happens, what do you say? Next time we'll never listen to you. Next time we don't need to consult the youth anymore. Right? Next time forget it. It's enough. The board is enough. It's enough with the board. We'll make the decision. Look, when we listen to them, look what happened. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Continue to consult with them. He didn't tell them, oh, they made this mistake, forget it, don't listen to them anymore. Don't consult with them anymore. Continue to consult with the youth. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ. When you have made that conviction, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you've made your decision, then put your trust in Allah and go forward with it. Make your decision firmly and put your trust in Allah. Consult! Consult with the elders, consult with the youth, consult with the people, because the more you consult, the more participation you're going to get from the people. And so, consultation is a part of how we deal with things. And as Muslims, we have to be fair. See how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated the youth? They are important. In the battle, the Quraysh are coming with over 3,000 people. Lives are at stake, and he's consulting the youth also. Not only does he consult the youth, he listens to them. And not only does he listen, he has a dream that tells him that, you know what? You should stay in Medina, and he still listens to them. He still listens to the youth. Why? When you look at our communities, our masajids, our Islamic centers, Islamic schools, we build these Islamic schools. It's not for us. We're going to be gone. Elders, we're going to be gone. It's for them. So you have to bring them in also in your consultation. Put them on board also and help them out so that you can raise the next generation to organize things properly and take care of things. And you know, you have to realize when you look at the Muslim community, what's the age group of the Muslim community? The Muslims in general. What's the age group? The majority of them are youths, right? So if they are the majority, then why are our activities geared towards people over 35, 40 years old? Most of the activities, right, they're geared towards maybe the elderly. A lot of places, a lot of institutions and so forth, when they have activities, it's geared for those people. But the majority of the people, the youth. And at the same time, also half of the ummah, half of the community, they're women. And why don't we have half of the programs for the sisters and for the mothers also? Why? We're also not being fair to them. Because we're not listening to them, that's why. And you don't listen to them. If you listen to them, they'll say, you know what, we need some programs also. Right? Why is it only the guys over 40 years old already? That's all. They get 80% of the programs, and they're only 20% of the people. That's not fair. So see the wisdom of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in how he treated the youth is something that we should learn from. So how did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach the youth? First, he taught them to be balanced. He taught them to be to be in the middle path, to take the middle path. And by the way, when you say balance and middle, we're not talking about compromising in our deen, no. Because when you follow the Qur'an and the Sunnah correctly, you adhere to it, you extremely adhere to the Qur'an and Sunnah, you won't fall into extremism. Why? Because the Qur'an and Sunnah is the most balanced. The more you hold on to it, the more balanced you are. The more you hold on to it, the more balanced you are. And that's why in the youth, generally they have a lot of zeal. Right? As usual, you see, they have a lot of zeal. So when they want, when they put their mind to something, they will do it. They will passionately go after it. Right? And so you have to use that energy or shift that energy towards the balanced way, not one extreme or the next. That's why some of them, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came to Aisha radiallahu anha, asking about the ibadah, the worship of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of asking how he was. And so they heard about his prayers, his fasting and so forth. And so they said, you know, this is the Messenger of Allah. You know, as normal people, we should do much more than that, right? And so it's as if they thought that they should do more than that because they're regular people and he's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah has already forgiven his past and future sins. And so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of them said, you know, I'm going to pray at nighttime. I'm going to stay up at nighttime and not sleep. I mean, for the rest of my life, every night I'm just going to stand up in prayer. I'm not going to sleep. So he devoted himself to night worship. The other person says, you know what? I'm going to fast every single day. I'm never going to break my fast. Meaning every single day he's going to fast. Every day, continuously, for the rest of his life. And so the third person said, you know, I'm not going to get married. Why? Because he thinks that, you know, if you get married, you're going to get busy, you're going to have responsibilities, and you're not going to have time to devote yourself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he was very angry. So these were three youth or three men who came to Aisha radiallahu anha. And so he said, surely, I'm the most God-fearing of you. I'm the most God-fearing of you. But I pray and I go to sleep. And I fast and I break. And then some days I don't fast. And I marry. I marry also. مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever does not follow my sunnah, my way, is not of me. Because his way, the sunnah, is the most balanced of ways. And so, in order to teach the Prophet ﷺ, when he was with the youth, he's very compassionate and nice to them. But at the same time, one of the things that he taught was he taught them to be balanced. And that's something that's very difficult. You know, one of the most difficult, you know, one of the mashayikh, when the students asked one of the mashayikh, what's the most difficult hadith to follow? That's a good question, right? Ask the shaykh, what's the most difficult hadith to follow? You know what he said? He said, you know what? I think the most difficult hadith to follow is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li rabbika alayka haqqan." Hadith Abu Dharr, when he was, Abu Darda, when he used to always, he was very devoted, used to always fast, used to always pray, at nighttime used to always pray. And his wife, she wasn't dressed very well, very kind of very nicely. And so the situation reached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he called Salman ibn Farisi, told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he called Abu Darda over and he said, "Inna li rabbika alayka haqqan." Surely your Lord has a right upon you. "Wa inna li ahlika alayka haqqan." And your family has a right upon you. "Wa inna li nafsika alayka haqqan." And you yourself have a right upon yourself. فَأَعْطِي كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ. So give each person who deserves a right their right. Each entity. So it's that balance that's difficult. In Islam, you have worship, then you have family, and then you have yourself. Take care of yourself also. Take care of your worship, your connection with Allah, your relationship with Allah, and then your relationship with your family also. And then also, you yourself. Take care of yourself also. Take care of yourself also. You yourself, you have rights upon yourself also. So that's the teaching that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. And it's very important, especially when it comes to the youth also. Why? Because the reason why many people go astray, why you have groups that are astray, is because they don't look at the whole of Islam. They're not balanced in how they learn Islam. They take a part of Islam and say that's everything. So there's a group of people who say, you know what, da'wah is it. Da'wah, if you don't go out an X amount of days, man, you're not a true believer. And it doesn't matter your wife and so forth. Allah will take care of them. Yes, Allah will take care of them. You know, go for this amount of days, right? And da'wah is everything. Da'wah is it. They forget about fiqh, aqidah, Islam, economics, politics, all of that together. It's all a part of Islam also. Aqidah, everything. And then there are some people, mashallah, in their aqidah, mashallah. Very good. Right? But when it comes to their akhlaq, when it comes to their manners, you say, La ilaha illallah. They cause mischief all over, no type of wisdom or anything. They've taken just certain parts of Islam and say, that's it. And then there's a group of people, mashallah, they want to establish the khilafah. And that's it. Jihad fi sabilillah. If you're not with us, then you're against us, right? Something like that. And then that's it. I mean, that's it. That's Islam. That's it. That's Islam. And you start studying about ibadat, worship. You start studying about wudu and prayer, right? And the rulings related to hayd and so forth. And they say, you guys are studying from ulama al-hayd wa nifas. The scholars of hayd nifas. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. That's not part of your deen. All of that is part of our deen. You don't belittle any part, you take it as a whole. Once you take one part and say that's everything, that's when you go astray. Because you're not balanced. You're not balanced. And especially with the youth, they have this zeal and they'll take it one way or the other. And they don't take Islam as a whole. All of that is important. Aqidah is important. Manners is important. So some people have good manners, mashallah, but they don't worry about fiqh. About aqidah, it doesn't matter. These people go around the grave, I just leave them alone. You just call them, come back. Tell them to come back to the masjid. And then they teach certain things only, certain points only, and that's it. You stay with them for six, seven years, you're just going to learn a few points, that's all. Every time, all over, over and over again. That's the only thing. Take it to the next level. All of that, that's a part of the deen, yes. Da'wah is a part of the deen. Struggle in the way of Allah is a part of the deen. It's a part of our religion. Aqidah is a part of our religion. Manners is a part of our religion. All of that is our religion. Not just one part. So you don't just look at one part and whoever's not in that circle, he's off the manhaj, man. He's way off. You know, we don't hang around with him. Hey, look at his shoes. Man, look at his thawb is up above. No, don't talk to him. No. They've taken that part only. And everything is about that. That's just a few surface issues. Just a few surface issues. When you ask him about fiqh, really go in depth. Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows this. Right? Few surface issues, you take it and you run away with it and say that's Islam. That's when people go astray also. So when it comes to the youth, you have to teach them. But teach them with kindness also. And, you know, our model should be, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That this is the believers to ask, Ya Allah, give us the goodness of this life and the goodness of the hereafter and free us from the hellfire. That's the balance. The balance in our deen. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very kind to the youth. And he respected them also and he listened to them also. But at the same time, the youth also have to learn manners. The youth also have to learn manners. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كِبَارُنَا وَلَمْ يَرْحَمْ صِغَارُنَا. He is not amongst us. Those who do not respect our elders, nor have mercy upon our youngsters. So you're not amongst us if you don't respect the elders and you don't have mercy upon the youngsters. So it's a two-way thing. And so what is this? One of the things that we forget, that we need to teach also the youth, and how the Prophet ﷺ taught the youth, was he taught them manners. One of the first things you have to teach manners also. Because once you teach manners, right, you know with your children, when you have children, if you can teach them to respect you and listen to you, then you can teach them anything after that. But if they don't listen to you from the very beginning, and you're not teaching them, what else are you going to be able to teach them? They're not going to listen to you. They're going to speak to you just like Bart Simpson speaks to Homer. Right? Because that's where they're learning their manners from. Right? Just like how Bart speaks to Homer, that's where they're learning their manners from. They speak just like that. He's watching it every single day. Right? Isn't that it? And so that's why you have to teach them manners first, from the very beginning. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind to them. At the same time, he did not just teach them, you know, in regular settings only. You know, sometimes, nowadays especially, you have the khatib. He gives, mashallah, the imam gives a powerful lecture, powerful khutbah. And everyone goes, mashallah. And then after that, you don't see him till next week, right? He's with his wife, he's doing his things. And then you don't see him till next week. But how was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He taught them the theoretical part and then he interacted with them. He ate with them. He joined them in their activities. He was with them. And he traveled with them also. And that's why. And so these are the things you can teach them also during these activities and during the times you're with them. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was riding behind, when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu was riding behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around, and Abdullah ibn Abbas was a boy, the young boy at that time, and he said, Ya ghulam, O young boy, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I'm going to teach you a few words. I'm going to teach you a few things. Ihfadhillahi yahfadhka. Ihfadhillahi tajidhu tujahak. He said, take care of your obligations to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Take care of your obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, if you take care of your obligations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. And so, he's teaching him tawheed. But when is he teaching him? Is it a formal gathering in the masjid, or a formal gathering in the house? No, they're riding. They're on a donkey, and Abdullah ibn Abbas is behind him. So this is the perfect time. You know how some parents, they say, well, you don't have time. I don't have time to teach my children. Well, you know what? When they're in the car, start teaching them. Speak to them. Ask them questions. You have time with them instead of having them fight each other behind you. Right? Yelling at each other. So-and-so, Muhammad just hit me with a pen. And then you go, stop it, you know, I'm driving right now, you guys, go stop bothering me, right? You know, speak to them and teach them, you do have time. And when they come and you're washing the dishes, maybe ask them a question. Son, do you know who the four khulafa are? And so forth. And so keep on doing that, find the little time right there to teach them. And remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to have a specific setting and specific time. And that's why, and also the way you speak to them also. Speak to them in kindly, in a nice way. Be fair with them, but speak to them in kind and a nice way. Listen to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh was a youth. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi inni la'uhibbuk. O Mu'adh, by Allah I love you. By Allah I love you. You don't have too many imams going around to little children saying, little kids, so by Allah, I love you. But imagine if you said that to a young kid. How does he feel? The imam says, Wallah, I love you. How do you feel? How do you feel? Good, right? Man, the imam loves me, right? And then now, since he loves you, right? And now you love him back, hey, tell me what to do. Now he's willing to listen. But look at the way he spoke to him. He said, Wallahi, he swears by Allah. He swears by Wallahi, inni la'uhibbuk. By Allah, I love you. It's not like, you know, I love you. You know, I love you. Like, you know how many emphasis is that? Wallahi, he swears by Allah. Inni, that's another tawkid or another emphasis. La'uhibbuk. Wallahi, inni la'uhibbuk. That's like, you know, in Arabic, you know, like the Shaykh was speaking about the beauty of the Arabic language. You know, the beauty of the Arabic language is the emotions are inside. You don't need exclamation mark. You don't need punctuation marks in Arabic. It's inside the words. The structure is built in. You can read the emotions. Wallahi, inni la'uhibbuk. It's in there. You can say, uhibbuk. I love you. Wallahi, uhibbuk. Wallahi, inni uhibbuk. Wallahi, inni la'uhibbuk. Look how many emphasis is there. He's saying that to a kid. Wallahi, inni la'uhibbuk. To Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And then he says, Usika ya Mu'adh. Oh Mu'adh, let me give you an advice. La tada'anna fi duburi kulli salah. And taqul, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadat. He said, by Allah. He said, oh, I'm going to give you an advice, okay? Mu'adh, don't ever abandon after every prayer this dua. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika. Oh Allah, help me in your remembrance. Help me to remember you. Wa shukrik. And help me to be thankful to you. Wa husni ibadatik. And help me to perfect my worship of you. Oh Allah. So don't ever forget to say this dua at the end of the prayer. When is the end of the prayer? The end of the prayer is, dubur kul salah, is when you finish, before you finish your attahiyat, and then before you give your salams, that's the time to make dua. You can make any dua that you want. So you supplicate before you give your salams, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. And so that's the time. And so he's teaching who? Mu'adh. But look at the way that he's speaking to him. He speaks to him in such a nice way. And then listen to how caring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was towards the youth. Malik ibn Huwayrith radiyallahu anhu, he said, Ataina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa nahnu shababatun mutaqaribun. He said, we came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while we were youths of similar age. So this is a group of youth. A group of youth came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faaqamna indahu 20 layla. And we spent 20 nights with him, 20 days with him. So this is like a small conference, 20 days. 20 days, like a camping trip. But they came to the Prophet ﷺ to learn from him for 20 days. And he said, وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ رَحِيمًا رَقِيقًا. But he was very merciful and kind. We found, what's the first, look at this. Look at the youth. What are they, how are they describing the Prophet ﷺ? They are describing the Prophet ﷺ right away, the first words, merciful and kind and nice. That's how the youth are describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We found him, but you know, sometimes nowadays, some of the elders, right? Some of the uncles, they come to the masjid. You see this face. You know, the Prophet always had a smile, right? You see this face, and then the youth, they say, "Oh, let's go!" Like immediately when they see the uncle come, let's get out, let's get out. He's gonna yell at us or something like that. You know. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not like that. You know, some people, they think that's the face of piety. Seriousness, right? But he was always smiling, especially towards the youth. And so, فَظَنَّ أَنَّ قَدْ اشْتَقْنَا إِلَى أَهْلِنَا. And so we felt missed our families. Remember, they left their families for 20 days. Now they're with the Prophet ﷺ. They're not from Medina. They have come to visit, a group of youth have come to visit the Medina. And so what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He noticed that in their faces. And so he's concerned about them. فَسَأَلَنَا أَمَّنْ تَرَكْنَا مِنْ أَهْلِنَا. So he started asking us, who did we leave at home and how we were doing, our condition. SubhanAllah. So he saw it in their faces and he says, hey, you know what? How are you guys doing? And do you guys miss home? And So he's asking because he's concerned about them. And so we told them we miss home. And so the Prophet said, "Irji'u ila ahlikum faaqimu fihim wa'allimuhum wa muruhum." He said, "Return to your family and faaqimu 'indahum, stay with them, aqimu fihim, stay with them, wa'allimuhum, whatever you learn from me, teach them also and order them to do the things that I've told you to do." Order them also, teach them. So he's telling the youth to go back. But look, he's concerned in that he's asking them, "Hey, you guys miss home? Then go home." He's concerned. He's not saying, "Hey, you guys, you're here, be serious, you're studying. Come on, don't worry about your families. You got to sacrifice. You know, you're always with your family anyways. Only 20 days. You can't have 10 more days. But at least 1 month, right?" When he saw that they missed their family, he asked them. He's asking about how they feel. He said, "Okay, if you go home. Go home and whatever you learn right now, just go. Go teach them. You know, go teach them." And so, wallahu a'lam, when they came, they probably intended to stay much longer than that. But when they started missing home a little bit, he said, "Just go home, go visit them. Whatever you learn is enough for now." You know? So he didn't say, he wasn't harsh on them. "You know, you got to finish this. You got to at least a month." No. "So you miss home, just go. Whatever you learn right there. They can always come back later on. But go home. I know you guys miss home. Yeah, I know you guys miss your family." So he's worried about them. He's always taking care of them. And this is how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He was also concerned with the youth. Those who were not married. And he would also help them to get married. There was a companion by the name of Julaybib. Julaybib. Now Julaybib was a companion who, let's say, he was short. Not only was he short, but he wasn't so handsome, you know. He wasn't too handsome neither. Not only that, his lineage was not, you know, really high like all the others, right? So, you know, somebody like that, it's a little bit difficult to get married, right? But he's a youth, he needs to get married. So he comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking help. Seeking help. And so look, the Prophet helps him. And he goes to the Ansar family. And he says, I would like your daughter." He goes to the father. Says, "I would like your daughter to marry, you know, there's somebody in Julaybib. I think it would be good if you allow your daughter to marry Julaybib, right?" And so the father says, "Okay, let me go speak to my wife, right? Let me go speak to my wife." So he goes home and he speaks to his wife. And so this is the whole conversation is about their daughter, marrying Julaybib. The daughter is in her room, but she's listening in on the conversation. And so the mother says, "Ma wajada Rasulullah sallam ghayra Julaybib." The Messenger of Allah sallam didn't find anyone but Julaybib. "Wa qad mananaha min fulan wa fulan." That other people who are better than Julaybib have come and we said no to them already. He couldn't find anybody yet, Julaybib. No one else but Julaybib. And so the father, when he heard that from his wife, he was about to go back to tell the Prophet ﷺ, "Maybe somebody else, you know. Maybe somebody else, maybe not this time." So the daughter came out when the conversation was finished. She came out of her room and she said to her parents, "Aturiduna an turuddu ala Rasulillahi amra?" Are you going to reject the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she read an ayah, "Wa ma kana lil mu'minin wa la mu'mina idha qada Allahu wa rasuluhu amran ay yakuna lahum khiyaratu min amrihim." It is not appropriate for a believer, male or female, that once the Messenger of Allah has decreed in an affair that they should have any choice in it whatsoever. Subhanallah. Look at the iman of this young lady. This is Julaybib. Not handsome. Doesn't have lineage. She's not rich. Nothing. Like, he doesn't have maybe deen. That's all. Nothing else. Nothing else. But it was because she wanted to follow the order, the suggestion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point here is that the Prophet ﷺ would help the companions, especially those who were in need. Those who wanted to get married, he would help them. The youth, he would help them. And so this is how, you know, their concerns. These are the things that they're concerned about. So help them and make it easy for them also. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. Oh, companion of, oh, group of youth, oh, youth. Whoever is able to get married, let me get married. But if you're not able to, right? If you're not able to, then let him fast, for it will be protection for him. So, you know, think about their concerns. And if you can't help them, maybe help each other fast. Remind each other to fast. Maybe every Mondays and Thursdays, you know, tell the people, remind them, hey, you know, we're going to have iftar in the masjid here. All you guys, you know, especially guys that are not married. You guys should be fasting. Come on, join us. Make it easy for them. Right? Help them out. You know, and sometimes, you know, maybe, you know, the family should come together also to help them out. And think about their concerns also. In fact, one time the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, in the battle of Khandaq, one of the most difficult battles, when they were digging also, they were digging in the trench, it was, you know, for days they were digging in the trench. And everyone in Medina had to dig the trench. You know, from morning until night. They would continue to dig. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would assign certain areas. And when the battle occurred, they had to man the trench area to protect, so that the protect Medina, so that the non-Muslims would not be able to enter Medina. So everyone had to man. But you know what? With the youth, some of the youth, particularly there was one youth, he just got married. Right? He was just married. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also knew that he had just gotten married. So he sought permission, you know, to go back to his family. He sought permission to go back to his family. And the Prophet ﷺ allowed him to go. Allowed him to go. So the Prophet ﷺ was always concerned with the youth. And the way he spoke to them also, he didn't speak to them in a harsh way. He didn't speak to them in a coarse way. Even when they came with questions that were, in our time we would say, wow, how dare you ask such a question, right? There is a companion, a hadith from Abi Umamah radiallahu anhu, Abu Umamah al-Bahili. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said that Imam inna fata shabban ata Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a shab, a youth, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, i'dhan li bizina. Give me permission to commit zina. A'udhu billah. Imagine if a youth came to the Imam and said that, Imam, you know, just allow me, you know, just, is there any way out? You know, we're living in a non-Muslim country. What do you think would happen? A'udhu billah. Where are you coming from, guy? What are you talking about? He'd probably scream and yell at him. How dare you ask such a question? He's asking, allow me to commit zina, fornication. Allow me to commit fornication. What did he say? Look at the way they spoke to him. He said, come here. He brought him close. Just that. Look, come here. Just come here. Let me speak to you. He didn't yell at him. Why did he bring him close? So he lowered his voice. He didn't, hey, look guys. Look, you know what he just came and asked me? You know what he just said? He just asked me if I could commit zina, fornication. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, come here. And so he came close to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they sat. Look, they sat. Look at the manners here. You know, hey, let's sit down and let's talk about it. Yeah, let's sit down and talk about it. That's the caring nature of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, "Atuhibbuhu li ummik?" He said, "Would you like it for your mother?" Or something like that. You know, fornication or adultery. Somebody to commit that with your mother. And so he said, no. And so he said, wallahi, la wallahi, ja'alni Allahi fida'ak. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sacrifice me for you. In other words, this is a way, you know, of emphasis. And he said, the Prophet said, wala nasu yuhibbunahu li banatihim, or wala nasu yuhibbunahu li umahatihim. He said, other people, they don't want that for their mothers also. You know, they don't want that for their mothers also. And so he said, would you like it? Would you want something like that for your daughter? If you had some? He said, no, I wouldn't want that for my daughter. No, Messenger of Allah. And also people don't want that for their daughters also. And he said, would you like that for your sister? He said, no, I don't want somebody to do that with my sister. And he said, then would you like that for your aunt? Says, no, no, I wouldn't want that for... Well, if you don't want that for yourself, then the same way. Other people don't want that for their daughters also. I mean, they want proper marriage. They don't want people going around with sleeping with other people. So then he understood. But look at the way he spoke to him in a nice way. Even when they came with, you know, sometimes they're concerned about certain things. But you know what? They don't trust even the imam. Right? They don't even trust the imam. So the imam is like, he's in a different world. He doesn't understand them. And so they don't go to him with their concerns. And when they don't go with their concerns, then they don't come to the masjid. They don't come back to the deen. So you have to be someone that people trust. People trust. And especially, you know, when you're a parent dealing with the youth, you know, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when he saw the dream, who did he go to? He went, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when he saw a dream, the dream that he saw, who did he go to? He went to his father. Ya abati inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba wa shamsa wal qamara ra'aytuhum li sajidin. He said, oh father, I saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon are prostrating to me. When he had a concern, who did he go to? Ya abati, he said, oh my dear father. And then he says, ya bunay, oh my dear son. Look at the way they're speaking to each other. In such a nice way. But the point here is, Prophet Yusuf didn't go to his friends. He didn't go to other people when he was concerned. Because the person he trusted the most was his father. But many of our children, when they have problems, do they come to us? The youth, when they have problems, do they come to us? If they don't have someone to come to, who are they going to go to? They're going to go to their friends. And if their friend says, oh, no, allow me to commit, he goes, do you think it's good to commit zina? Right? Do you think it's good to commit fornication? You know, sex before marriage? He says, dude, man, you still a virgin? Right? Now he's going to look down upon him, right? He's putting more pressure on him. Dude, how old are you? 15? Dude, 15? Dude, man, I wasn't a virgin. At 12 years old, man. 12 years old, I lost my, you know what? Right? They're proud of it. Those are the people who they're going to go to if they don't trust you. If you don't speak to them nicely, if you don't speak to them kindly, if you don't follow the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are just a few examples of how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with them and how kind he was towards them. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you were kind to them. If you were coarse, harsh, cold-hearted, they would have run away from you. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. Be merciful and kind to them. Forgive them when they make mistakes. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And ask, make dua for them. Ask forgiveness for them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And also, consult with them also. When you have something, make them feel important. Consult with them. Then they'll come back.